Pastor, can we just pray and commit the word unto the Lord? Father, I pray that you know, oh God, how broken I feel right now. And pray, Lord, that Holy Spirit break further so that you and only you will be seen in Yeshua's name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. So, Pastor asked me to speak very slowly. or get an interpreter. So, I assume I will get a lot of extra time. What time do you have to finish? 12, not 2. So, I'm going to speak on the subject of fear of the Lord. Okay? The subject is so important that it's mentioned so many times in the scripture. In fact, it often goes with fear the Lord and obey his commands. The two to go together. It's like love the Lord and love your neighbor go together. Fear the Lord, fear of the Lord and keep his commandments often go together. I've given a few examples, and each of those scriptures you can spend hours going through because it's such a wonderful subject. So I'll try to touch on 3 points if time permits, and I believe this is how I see fear of the Lord as it applies to my life. This is more of a personal testimony, how I view the subject in my own journey with Christ. Therefore, feel free to agree, disagree, add as the Lord leads you. Whatever you do, love me. Because the Bible says, love even your enemies. Something happened in the 20th century for the first time in history since creation. Can you know what it is? Can you suggest what it is? We had world wars. Do you know after 6,000 years of history, there have never been a single world war until the 20th century. In fact, there were 2 of them. In the aftermath of World War I that raged from 1940 into 1988, the people of the world struggled to come to terms with the devastation and deaths, the likes of which had never been seen before. So in the midst of these 2 world wars, there were also mass-scale, politically motivated killings of their own people by political leaders, 3 of them who stand out. You know who they are? They were evil politicians who killed their own people, numbering between 75 to 100 million people. You know, if you put 200 people in this auditorium, it'll be packed. So imagine 75 to 100 million people were killed by these people, innocent and defenseless, like babies in a mother's womb. They were Mao Zedong, Joseph Stalin, and Adolf Hitler. I wonder what made their minds go so demonic. A brief look at Stalin. He was born in 1879, and his father died in 1891. Stalin's mother, a religious and an illiterate peasant woman, sent a teenage son to a theological seminary in Georgia, where Stalin prepared for ministry. He was a Bible college student. How did he end up being so evil? Soviet novelist, I can't pronounce the name, retold the following story about Stalin. On one occasion, so it was narrated, Stalin called for a live chicken and proceeded to use it to make an unforgettable point before his henchmen. Forcefully clutching the chicken in the hand, with the other he began to systematically pluck out the feathers. As the chicken struggled in vain to escape, he continued with painful denuding until the bird was completely stripped. Now you watch, Stalin said as he placed the chicken on the floor and walked away with some breadcrumbs in his hand. Incredibly, the fear-crazed chicken hobbled towards him and clung to the legs of his trousers. Stalin threw a handful of grain to the bird, and it began to follow him around the room. He turned to his dumbfounded colleagues and said quietly, "This is the way to rule the people. Did you see how that chicken followed me for food, even though I had caused it such torture? People are like that chicken. If you inflict inordinate pain on them, they will follow you for food for the rest of their lives." He applied that to his own people. So these three leaders were stubborn, unteachable, and absolutely arrogant, and thought they were doing their nation a service by what they did to their own people. The story of Lazarus and the rich man gives us a glimpse of what these three men are going in an unimaginably horrible hell since the day they died. I'm not being judgmental when I say they are in hell. I know. The only thing is, it's worse. The rich man, being tormented in the hell, cried out in Luke 16, 27 to 28. Then he said, "I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment." The rich man now has become the beggar, and the beggar has become the rich man in eternity. These three men that I mentioned have been burning in an unimaginably horrible hell since their deaths. I know beyond a shadow of doubt that should they be given another opportunity, another chance in this world, all three of them will fear God and obey his commands. I'm going to show it from the Bible. If another chance is given to all these three people, they will plead and say, "We will fear God and obey his commands." Fear of the Lord is not the same as being afraid of God, as did the Israelites who came out of Egypt. You cannot have an intimate relationship with someone that you are afraid of. Isn't it? Can you have an intimate relationship with someone you're afraid of? No. So fear of God is different from being afraid of God. This reminds me of the relationship between our son-in-law, Robin, and our two grandsons. Now, they are 5 and 3 years. In fact, they are the best two grandchildren in the whole world. I know beyond a shadow of doubt. I'm convinced, at least. So they play together, and it's so beautiful to watch. Yet, at the end of the day, the two boys know who the boss is. They play with the father, but at the end of the day, they know. Whenever the dad had to discipline them, they would cry until he comes and carries them in his arms, and they put their arms around daddy and start crying. And then the dad takes the opportunity to tell them, "Look, what you did has hurt me. I'm grieved. I'm so sad that you did that." And you know what they did? With their arms around dad's shoulder, they would sob and say, "Sorry, daddy, we won't do it again." Only a couple of minutes later, kids being kids, you see them laughing and playing with dad as if nothing had happened. That's the relationship God wants to have with us. All sin committed without the fear of the Lord is against God. It grieves the heart of God. When Prophet Nathan reprimanded King David for committing adultery and what followed, David humbled himself and broke down in repentance. That story is found in 2 Samuel 12. Later, he wrote Psalm 51 to show how he repented. He says, Psalm 51, "For against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight." Psalm 51, 10 to 11, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." Do you know why David wrote this psalm? His major concern was not that he would lose power, not that he would lose his position as king, but he treasures his intimate relationship with the Father, God, more than what the whole world has to offer. He treasured that. Why did I say, given another opportunity, these three political leaders who are burning in hell today would fear God and obey his commands? Let us consider the life of Solomon. He started off very well, but had a horrible finish. That the Bible says God was angry with Solomon. Solomon, being a wise man, with in-depth revelation of God and his ways. You know, when you read Proverbs, you can see what revelations he had of God. Realized in his last stages how he has messed up his life. He started so well. What a sad finish. 1 Kings chapter 3. You read the story of Solomon's encounter with God. In verse 10 says, "Therefore, give your servant an understanding heart of to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge these great people of yours?" He acknowledged people belong to God. "I'm only a servant king appointed by you to look after them as you would look after them." Bible says the speech pleased the Lord, that Solomon had asked this thing. So he said, "These are your people." What a selfless request and a glorious start. And we come to the end of his life. The scenario has drastically changed. 1 Kings chapter 11 verse 9 says, "So the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord of Israel, who had appeared to him twice." Verse 11 says, "Therefore the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this and have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servant." Can you see what happened? David, his father, worked so hard to bring the 12 tribes together. In one generation, with all the wisdom still remaining with him, to the end, he paved the way for the nation to be divided, and his son was left with only 2 tribes. We see a glimpse of Joseph Stalin's character that had emerged in Solomon's life over the years. Here's a conversation between Solomon's son, Rehoboam, and Jeroboam after the death of Solomon. Jeroboam came to see Solomon's son and said, "Please, your father gave a hard time to people. Please lighten the burden. Stalin gave a hard time to his own people. Please lighten burden." 1 Kings chapter 12 verse 3 to 4 says, "Then that they sent and called him. Then Jeroboam and the whole assembly of Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, 'Your father,'" that is Solomon, "'made our yoke heavy.'" Stalin made the yoke heavy. Hitler made the yoke heavy. "Now therefore, lighten the burdensome service of your father and his heavy yoke which he put on us, and we will serve you." What was Solomon's promise to God? "Give me wisdom so that I can be a servant king of your people." What had gone wrong? Where did it all start? Was it the foreign women that he married and the many idols that they brought into the country? No. He had 700 wives and 300 porcupines. For a man, anything more than one woman is a porcupine. Isn't that true? All the men said, amen. Anything more than one wife. Don't look at your wife and say, you're a porcupine. So Ecclesiastes 2, 9 to 10. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was the reward from all my labor. If you stop right there, sounds like a testimony we all can get excited about, isn't it? Just read it and see. We come and say, oh, I got a job. I'm excited. I got a house. I got excited. I got married. I'm excited. Sounds, if you stop there, we will not even know that there was something seriously wrong on the inside. I might come to church and give a great testimony, but only God knows what's on the inside. You go to verse 11. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had done and the labor in which I toiled, and indeed all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. Suddenly his philosophy of life has taken a different turn. Indeed all was vanity. What does indeed means? Indeed. Deed is what? Action. So in other words, says, all that I did on this world is vanity. Is that true? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You mean to say you're coming to church in the morning is vanity? You mean to say you go and witness to someone in the street is vanity? You mean to say God makes you a doctor and functioning as working as a doctor is vanity? No. If God has anointed, this also says my wisdom remain with me. If God has anointed me with a healing ministry, or as a prophet, or to preach the gospel, the anointing might remain with you. But only God knows what is going on the inside. Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Written in red, that means very words of Jesus. People will come and say, I prophesied in your name. I did that in your name. He says, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. When things go wrong, who do we blame? Wife? Mother-in-law? No, you blame God. Whenever things go wrong, either you accept responsibility or you blame God. Started with Adam, who blamed God for giving him a wife. Solomon is saying that the apex of God's creation indeed is vanity. Does God make mistakes? We are apex of his creation. I'm not vanity. My deeds must not be vanity. I'll tell you how you can make sure your deeds are not vanity. This is the Buddhist view. Buddha went from a palace to the wilderness in search of meaning of life. He divorced his wife and gave his children away. Our God says he hates divorce. Malachi 2:16. Plus, the Bible says in Proverbs 18:22, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. And my version says, he who finds a husband finds the best thing. Amen. Our God picked up us from wilderness. Buddha went from palace to wilderness. Our God picked me up from wilderness and he's taking me on a journey to the palace to be the son of the living God, to be the son of King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it's a journey from wilderness to palace. And there's more. We are called to be the bride of Yeshua, bride of Jesus. We were talking about the bride. You know, I remember when my daughter got married. So we were walking down the aisle. Nobody was looking at the bridegroom. And then I'm walking with her. And I thought everybody is looking at me. The only thing is, their eyes were a bit off course. To see, they were looking at my daughter. Why? All eyes are on the daughter. On the day of your wedding with Yeshua, eyes are not going to be not even on Christ, but on you and me. What a deal he has given. We are called to rule and reign with Christ, to be joint heir with Christ. Even in our very life on earth, our attitude is to live is Christ, die is gain. So I don't mind going into places that people consider are dangerous. Because when they tell me, I say, if I stand before Satan or my enemy, I will say, okay, live with heads I win, tails you lose. You take your pick. Heads I win, tails you lose. Live with Christ, die is gain. Psalm 100 verse 2 says, serve the Lord. In other words, your work, your deeds, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Psalm 16:11 says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of sadness. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Does it sound like vanity? Remember this as I continue. See, if you're walking around with a long papaya face, you know what papaya face is? Long face. Instead of a nice, smiley, pinky face like a watermelon, it's time to go before the mirror of the Word of God and ask why. James 1, 23, 24, Proverbs 27, 19. Paul, on the other hand, mostly writing from prison, said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. He didn't say life is vanity. Paul's last words were not, all my life accomplishments are vanity. Instead, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid for me the crown of righteousness with the Lord. The righteous judge will give me on the day, and not only to me, but also to you, all who have loved his appearance. Two diagonally opposite views of our deeds on earth. Why did Solomon fail so miserably? What was the root cause? Lack of wisdom? No. Lack of knowledge? No. Lack of knowledge of the word? No. Lack of ability to understand the word? No. Lack of love for the Lord? No. So many foreign women? No. What made him backslide to such an extent? What were the root cause? Solomon makes a closing statement in his Book of Regrets. I don't call it Ecclesiastes. Book of Regrets, which is more like a confession. He says in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 to 14, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and obey his commandments, and this is man's all. If you apply this principle to your life, you will never have to walk around with a papaya face, even in prison. When Paul and Silas were thrown in prison, they knew how to worship their way out, because they were all filled with joy all the time. This was not written in the scripture to make Solomon look bad, but that we may learn of his life and choose right. Obeying the commandments from a position of fear of the Lord, leading to a relationship of intimacy with God. Too late for Solomon, but not too late for you and I. Another quick example. How many of you have heard of Jim Backer? You know, a well-known evangelist. Got into a mess like Solomon did. He was involved in a financial and a sex scandal and was convicted in 1989 and sentenced for 45 years in prison. He was released in 1994. John Bevere, another well-known pastor and author, a friend of Jim, went to see him in prison and asked Jim, "When did you lose your love for the Lord that you got into such a big mess?" Jim's direct response was, "Love, I never lost my love for the Lord, but I lost fear of God." I lost fear of God. A man with a mega ministry, with such an in-depth knowledge of and revelations, but no longer could be used by God. In fact, Jim had quite a positive attitude, and he thanked God for how it all ended up. So fear God and obey His commands. This is man's all. God's plan since creation is to tabernacle with us, right? God's plan since creation is to tabernacle with us. You know how I love if my son and my daughter-in-law, if my daughter and my son-in-law and the grandchildren, if they all can live in my house, tabernacle with me. And Aaron, of course. Right? So it started in the Garden of Eden, and they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord from among the trees of the garden. And from God wants to come and fellowship with us, we have created a situation the two cannot meet, and it saddens the heart of God. Then that is where we started, in a garden, and we are going to finish in a garden in Revelation 21, verse 1 to 3. Now I saw the new heaven and the new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, and goes on, and he says, verse 2, then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Whenever he talks about the bride, he talks about how beautifully the bride looks. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." Our God is going to win. One day in eternity, we will be with the Lord. Okay? And and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself be with them and be their God. This message about how we may position ourselves in obedience so that we will be part of God's great plan. That is why I always emphasize that the gospel we are commanded to preach is not the gospel of salvation, but the gospel of the kingdom. Gospel of the kingdom. Amen? Salvation is only the beginning. With that introduction, I'm still on the introduction. I got 3 points to cover. With that introduction, I want to share with you 3 points. I want to look at 3 major milestones in our walk with the Lord. Walk with the Lord, which will end up in the new heaven and the new earth. And I will break down the 3 points. But remember, the foundational principles will continue right to the end. Fear God and keep His commandment, for this is man's all. So point number one is God dwelling with man and the birth of Israel as a nation as promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Point number two, the book of Acts. God dwelling in us instead of a sanctuary made by man. God in us. And the birth of the Gentile church. First the birth of Israel, then the birth of the Gentile church. And the third point, which I don't think I will have time to get into, is where we are now and how we may position ourselves in obedience as the end of the church age is fast approaching. Okay, 3 points. One is people came out of Egypt, why they were brought out of Egypt, and how God dealt with man, and that was when Israel was started. And in the book of Acts is how God came to dwell in us. We are the tabernacle of God, and how the church was born. And then the last point is where we are now and how we may position ourselves in obedience as the end of church age is fast approaching. The underlying principle is fear God and obey His commands. Let's look at point number one, Exodus from Egypt. God dwelling with man and the birth of Israel as a nation. Why did God save Israel from Egypt? Why did God save Israelites from Egypt? What was in the center of His plan? Go to Promised Land? No. Tabernacle with man. Exodus 8:1 says, then the Lord said to Moses, go back to Pharaoh and announce to him, this is what the Lord says, let my people go that they may worship me. KJV says, serve, but the true word is worship. Let them go that they may worship me. In John 4:23, Jesus said, but the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. Point number two, why they brought them. Number one was worship, not whinge or complain. Worship. Second point he brought was Exodus 19:3-6. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did to the Egyptian, and how I bore you on eagle wings and brought you to myself. Brought you to who? God unto Himself. That was God's desire. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be a special treasure to me above all the people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. In other words, he says, I want you to worship me in spirit and in truth, and then I'm going to make you a nation. You are my treasure, and I'm going to make you a blessing to the whole world. Is that okay? I'm going to make you a blessing to the whole world, like in Acts 1:8. What was God's desire? Worship. Be a treasure to Him, and a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. This was a major milestone in God's story. The word history comes from His story. Right? Sadly, people did not respond as God desired. Although they came out of Egypt, they could not get Egypt out of them. God's desire was to dwell among the people. So God asked Moses to make a sanctuary, because when they rebelled, God no longer would mingle with the people freely as He did with Adam and Eve before Adam and Eve committed sin. So God asked Moses to make a sanctuary because people were not willing to draw near to go the way they should have. Fear God and keep His commandment, for this is man's all. Exodus 25:8, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. With the exception of Moses, who went to meet with God regularly, only Aaron and his three sons, Nadab, Abihu, and Eleazar were appointed and trained as priests and were allowed to go before His presence at appointed times according to divine protocol. They couldn't just go in. Moses went in whenever he had to talk to God. But other three and Aaron had divine protocols, and they had to observe that in the fear of God. The two elder sons decided to offer a strange fire in an order which God had not commanded them. No fear of God. Leviticus 10, 1 to 3. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took a censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord. And he had not commanded them. So the fire went out from the Lord and devoured them. And they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me," listen, "by those who come near me, whether you are coming to church, or whether you are going for a prayer meeting, or even when you are going before the Lord by yourself," he says, "by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified." So Aaron held his peace. It was what was instead of fear God, this was their general conduct. People were rebellious, disrespectful to authority, beginning with Moses as their leader. Consequently, from time to time, God brought judgment upon them, right? From time to time, God brought judgment. So result was people got scared. People got scared of God. You run away from God when you are scared of him. But when you have the reverent fear of God, you run to him. Understand? So Deuteronomy 5:27, it says, "You go near and hear all the Lord our God say, and tell us what the Lord our God says to you." He said, "Moses, you go. You go and talk to God. We will stay here. But when you go there, ask him for everything we need." You know, a lot of our, if your prayer is all about, "Gimme, gimme, gimme, gimme. My name is Jimmy." Okay? This is the type of relationship you're having with God. But instead, if you go and say, "God, why did you come?" "God, I just came to worship you. I just came to love you. And by the way, Lord, my neighbor is not saved. By the way, Lord, Sri Lanka, something has happened. Would you please send me? By the way, Lord, Israel, this is happening. Would you use me?" And it brings joy to the heart of God. Joy to the heart of God. This is what how Solomon began well. Basically, the response of people were, they were afraid of God, not fear of God. So the attitude of Moses, "You go and bring everything out." As I mentioned earlier, you cannot have an intimate relationship with God, a relationship with someone whom you're afraid of. God's response was, "If that's what they want, it's okay. Don't let them come near me for their sake. I will give everything they ask for except presence and a relationship of intimacy." Deuteronomy 5:28 onward, it says, "Then the Lord heard the voice of your God's." Then now God, Moses goes before God, and God says, "I heard what they said." He's omnipresent. He says, "Then the Lord heard the voice and wisdom you spoke to me." And the Lord said, "I have heard the voice of the words of these people which they have spoken to you. They are right in that they have spoken." They are right. They come, they will die. Oh, God is saying, oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep my commandments. God is saying, oh, how I wish they fear me and keep my commandments so that they don't have to send you and that they cannot come before me. That it might be well with them and with their children and forever. Go and say to them, return to your tents. I'll tell you something. Parents, the greatest legacy you can leave for your children is to walk a life of fear of God and obeying his commands. Because the Bible says if you do that, it will be well for your children as well. For children as well. Deuteronomy 5:31. I wanted a picture. Supposing all these people are rebelling and all that. They are very, very, very. They are not scared of Moses at all. They don't respect Moses. But when it comes to God, they are scared. God says, "You guys, you stay here." And he says, "But you, Moses, come and stand beside me. You guys stay there. Don't come. But you, Moses, come and stand beside me. Come and stand beside me. He says, but as for you, stand here by me. How want you, do you want to stand by God? Do you want to stand so close you can hear his whisper? Fear God and obey his commands. Is that too much to ask? No. And I will speak to you all the commandments, the statutes and the judgments which you teach them, that they may observe them in the land which I am giving them to possess. Stand near me. What did people get besides the anger of God? What did they get? Almost everything they asked for, with the most significant exception of being not allowed to cross Jordan, is it symbolic of being left behind when Christ returns? Psalm 106, 14 to 15 says, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert, and he gave them their request, but sent leanness to their souls. What about Moses? Numbers 12, 6 to 8. Then he said, hear now the words of, if there is a prophet among you, I the Lord make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak to him face to face. I recently hear what it means is, I speak to him mouth to mouth. God speaking to a human being mouth to mouth, and all he did was fear God and obey his commands. I saw, put it another way, humble yourself before the Lord and tremble at his word. Isaiah 66 verse 2 says that, and he sees the form of mine. Why then were you not afraid to speak again, my servant God? I will tell you something. If you fear God and obey his commandment, you can go right into the middle of ISIS. God's eyes will be on you. And you are armed and dangerous because God is protecting you personally. His eyes are upon you. The Bible says his eyes are upon those who humble themselves and tremble at his word. Why did God, who did God choose to? So you might say, Moses couldn't go to the promised land. Who says that? Moses went to the promised land in style. Others had to battle and go through the muddy waters and, you know, march around the world. He went in style. Who did God choose to glorify his son on Mount of Transfiguration before he went to the cross? Moses, Elijah, and it's mentioned in three Gospels. God's desire to draw us unto himself and make us kings and priests to all nations has not changed. James 4:5 says, do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in you yearns jealously. God is yearning jealously for what? Draw near to me and I will draw near to you. James 4:8. He's yearning jealously to draw near to God. He wants you to draw near to him more than you want to draw near to him. It's amazing God we serve. Revelation 1, 5 to 6. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins with his own blood and has made us kings and priests to God the Father. Intimacy and kings and priests. Intimacy with a job description. It's not living in the la-la land with a halo for the rest of your life. No, even I got good news. Even eternity, you got a lot of work to do. Amen for that, okay? Right. So that's what happened. People ran away instead of running to. People were scared of God instead of having fear of God. Therefore, God could not do what he wanted to do through them, which was to make them nations of praise. But he's coming to the church now for that. Coming to the church. Point number two, the book of Acts. God tabernacled in with us, the birth of the Gentile church. It was another defined moment when God was going to dwell in man, no longer in a man-made sanctuary. He always keep going higher and higher and higher. You enemy come and take 10 from him, he takes 1,000 from the enemy and gives it to us. Earlier, God wanted to dwell among men. Now he's going to dwell in us. The birth of the Gentile church, Acts 1, 4 to 8. The manifest presence of God was so intense. There was such an atmosphere of love and unity among people. Do you want God to use you? Love one another. Love one another. And begin it here. Let it begin with here. It's easy to love the lovable. Isn't it? Love one another as Christ has loved us. There was such an atmosphere of love and unity among the people. You say you love the Lord? Is it not true that you don't love the Lord more than the one? You look at the person next to you and say, I don't love the Lord more than I love this person. So if you want your love for the Lord to increase your love for one another. 1 John 4:20. People sold their houses. Probably those who had more than one gave the money to the church so that there would not be anyone lacking. Barnabas did so, and his act of generosity was acknowledged in the presence of all. There was a couple named Ananias and Sapphira who liked the fame, sold the property and brought part of it to Peter, but said it was the full amount. Acts 4 and 5. They could have said the truth and it would have still been accepted with gratitude, but they lied to God. No fear of God. This was just a white lie. They were still being generous. I'm sure Aaron's children would have told lies, but they never fell dead. But the bar has been lifted now because God no longer wants to live among them, but God has come to live in us. So the bar of holiness is lifted up. All they had to tell was a lie and they were dead. They were dead. This was a white lie. They were still being generous. But the standard has been lifted up. The standard of holiness has been lifted up. God was so lifted up. Matthew 5, 21 to 22 says, today, if you look at a woman with lustful eyes, you have committed adultery with her. Not in the time of Moses, but in the time of Jesus, where tabernacle, God wants to live in us. God no longer in a tabernacle made by hand, but man by his spirit. As we are today, God dwells in you, is holy. God who dwells in you is holy. Therefore, Peter says, 1 Peter 1:15, be thou holy because Lord thy God is holy. Ananias fell dead before Peter for lying to the Holy Spirit. And later, his wife walked in unaware that her husband was dead. Acts 5:10-11, then immediately she, number one, fell down at his feet and breathed the last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. Verse 11. So, point number two, great fear came upon the church and upon all those who heard these things. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. So this time, some people ran away. Instead of running away, they knew the key to this is fear of God. They embraced fear of God and they ran to God. Thank God the church was birthed. You and I are Christians today because they chose to fear God. They chose to fear God. Great fear came upon the church. Instead of running away from God, being afraid, instead of fear of God, through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. The Gentile church was born and spread across the world. The dead were raised. The shadow of Peter healed the sick. Thousands got saved. And the gospel was preached with boldness, with signs and wonders following, all because people chose to fear God and keep his commandment, for this is man's all. See what will happen. There is a lot more details I wish I could have gone through in the book of Acts, including many scriptures on the subject. Choosing to obey all his commandments in the fear of the Lord is the wisest decision we can make, and not to do so is to compromise in any minute way is utter foolishness. Is utter foolishness. Now, I want you to kind of go read the book of Acts and go deep into it and say, that's even a shadow of what is about to come. Imagine the shadow healing the sick. I believe the day is coming when there'll be dead raised and we will not even talk about it. We'll see dead raised, but we'll not talk about it. But the key is in our hands, because God is ready to pour out his last outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the church and upon us. Okay, that leads me to third point. I will not go in depth into the third point, but that's a message in itself. What does fear God and keep commands mean in today's context? It's quite different from then. Okay, I'll just give a small introduction. I believe that the glory of the latter church will be greater than the glory of the former church. Right? Do you believe that? So the holiness expected of the latter church will be higher than the holiness that is expected of the former church. Fear of God expected in the latter church will be more than the fear of God that we should have in the former church. Example, James 5, 7 to 8, 1 Thessalonians 4, 15 to 18, it goes on, Ephesians 5, 27, Revelation 19, 78. The book of Acts is a shadow, where the shadow, in the book of Acts says the shadow healed the sick, the dead were raised. The kingdom of God was preached as witness with signs and wonders following. And how awesome the latter rain would be, I can't even imagine. We'll see the healings and dead raised. We must do now. What must we do now to position ourselves in obedience? What must I do now for me to be counted in? There's nothing in this, nothing in the world has got anything that can be even compared to that. Nothing. Imagine you and I being part of that mighty thing. Metaphorically speaking, if I were to compare God's calendar to from Genesis to relay, Revelations to a relay, you know, relay, we are running in the last lap. You and I are in the last lap. We must thank God that for that awesome privilege. So much has happened over the last 2 millennia. We had to humble ourselves and tremble at his word. You know, I'll tell you something that's happened to the, particularly, if I continue on this later, I'm going to show you how we have treated the Bible like the way a lawyer has treated the law. The success of a lawyer does not depend on how well he can interpret the law. The success of a lawyer depends on how he can defend the client, whether he's guilty or not. Sad to say, in the Western culture, we have looked at the Word of God like that. That is why today we have churches that marry homosexuals and call it a blessing. That is why we are so silent about everything that's happening. Because we have taken the Bible and twisted it the way a lawyer twists the law to get his ends met. What does fear of the Lord mean in today's context? Not as we perceive it to be. How do I draw the line between fear of God versus fear of all the other earthly things? As we enter into this day of preparing for the coming of the Lord, there are some questions we got to ask ourselves. Some questions we have to ask ourselves. How do I conduct myself in line with the word? The relationships, husband and wife relationships, in the church, in the workplace. How do I become a bearer of fruit of the Spirit? How do I worship the Father in spirit and in truth? Bible says, what does that mean? What does it mean in today's context? By those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified. What does that mean? We have to address those issues if we have to prepare ourselves for the coming of the Lord. We have to come to the place where the Bible says there's going to be a shaking. You know why? You know why there's going to be shaking? Sorry, they disconnected something. Right. Bible says, in Gideon was asked to choose an army. How many people did he get? Judges 6 and 7. How many did he, in his first round of batch, how many people were there in the army? 32,000. Then what was the test? All those who are scared, go home. How many left? 22,000 left. God can't use people who are scared. And then 10,000 remained. And God gave another test to the 10,000. Only 300 came through. How do I stay qualified to be the last army of God? Fear God and obey His commands. I don't have time to go through the last point, because it's very, very important. And I want you to have one thing, one confidence. God will never ask us to do something that we cannot do with the help of the Holy Spirit. Is it not true? He will never, never, never ask us to do something. He will never ask us to be holy if we cannot be holy with the help of the Holy Spirit. He will never ask us to forgive someone if we cannot forgive with the help of the Holy Spirit. We can be holy. Can we stand? Hallelujah. I'm good. I finished early. You gave me early. Right? I time for an hour. Okay? I want to read Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 to 3. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, as a branch shall grow out of his roots. He's talking about Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, and the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight. I want to tell you, if God anoints you to heal the sick, if God anoints you to raise the dead, if God anoints you as a prophet, if God anoints you as an evangelist that goes before millions of people, what will you treasure in your heart? Where will your focus be? What will you get up in the morning and say, God, I preached to 50,000 yesterday. Can you make it 100,000? Is that your prayer? Or will you say, God, my delight is in the fear of the Lord. Did Jesus fail? Did he fail? Did he live holy? Did he? What do you think? Don't forget, he went into the temple and whack, whack, whack. Is that part of being holy now? Being holy? Yes. Why? His delight was in the fear of the Lord. Are you willing to do that? Tell me honestly. You willing to fear God and obey His commands? You willing? Just lift up your hands and say, yes, Lord. I want to fear God and obey your commands. Because God, I want to be chosen. I want to be chosen, oh God, in your end time army. I want to be chosen, oh God, to be used by you, Lord, in the end times, oh Lord. Not because I want to see the dead heal, not because I want to see my shadow healing the sick, but Lord, that I want to, Lord, please you. And I want to do what you want me to do. I want to walk a life of obedience. And therefore, Lord, I pray that you give me a revelation of fear of God and obeying your commands. Give me your commands. You know something? I'm going to do something here. I'm going to touch the feet of everyone in the front row. I don't mind touching them. And I'm not doing it to kind of any kind of show, okay? I do it to show that I'm begging you guys. I'm begging y'all. I'm literally begging y'all. Express your love to the Lord. Express your love for the Lord. Express your love for the Lord with fear of God and obeying His commands. Fear of God and obey His commands. Fear of God and obey His commands. Fear God, fear God, fear God and obey His commands. Fear God and obey His commands. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Love you. We love you. We love you. We love you.
Amen. Thank you, Daryl. How about we do it this way? If you want to come out and pray a short prayer, I want to invite whoever. But can I first start with David Lee, please? Is it all right? Yeah. Can we pray? Respond to the Lord in whatever way. I don't know how to respond except, Lord, help us. Help us.
Lord, what can we say, Father? Lord, you know you have spoken to us. So help us to fear you and to obey all your commandments, Father. Because, Lord, you are really wonderful, really worthy to be honored, to be feared, to be respected. Especially, Father, when nobody is looking, Father. Help us, Lord, to be aware of your presence, how much you love us and how great you are. And always keep the all of you among us, Father. So, Father, as we all humble ourselves before you, we thank you for your mercy. Mercy in all of us, from the oldest to the youngest, to the babies, Father. I can see, Father, that you look into all our hearts, Father. Father, cleanse us. Let your Holy Spirit speak to us. If there's anything we need to repent, that we bring it to the light, we will repent. If there's anyone we need to ask forgiveness, we will ask forgiveness. Father, have mercy on us. And thank you, God, you are really a good and merciful God. And Lord, it's a very strange thing you say, God. We should fear you because of your mercy. Because it cost you your Son to bring us close to you, Jesus.
Amen. Can I invite whoever, is there anyone else who wants to express something from your heart to the Lord?
Lord, have mercy on us. I have broken the first commandment, which say that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your might. Father, many a time we did not put you first in whatever we do. We think of our own comfort. We think of our family, we think of everything else except you. We have not loved you that much. And we do not fear you. There's no fear of the Lord in us, Lord. For if we truly fear you, Lord, we will keep your commandment, every single one of them. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us, Lord. We are not worthy to gather the crumbs under your table. But Lord, you are the same God who is ever merciful. So Father, I pray that today, Lord, will be a new beginning in our life, every one of us. You love us. You love us with an everlasting love. We should love you back in return like that. Lord Jesus, you went to the cross. You forsake your glory in heaven. You came down so that you can identify with us, so that you know what it is like to be a human. The struggles we struggle, the rejection, everything, Lord, you suffered. And yet, Lord, like a sheep led to the altar, you did not open your mouth. You could have called down angels and everyone would be slaughtered, but you didn't. You died that painful cross, death on the cross, for our sake, because you loved us and you want us, Lord, to have a relationship with you. Forgive us. Holy Spirit, today come into our hearts all over again, Lord, and be the Lord of our lives. Be the one to guide us every day, the moment that we open our eyes. Speak to us, Lord. And at night, the last thing when we close our eyes, again speak to us. Teach us how to be obedient. The Bible says that Jesus learned obedience. Help us, Lord, to learn obedience also. I thank you that you are merciful. I thank you that your mercies are new every morning. And I thank you that your covenant is everlasting and it will not be broken. And everything that is said in your word will come to pass. So come, Lord Jesus. Come. Come, Lord Jesus, even as we wait for your return. Help us, Lord, to do your work, for there is such a vast harvest out there and the laborers are few. Use us, Lord, in whatever way that you can use us. For you have given each one of us, Lord, a talent, Lord. So, Father, I commit everything into your hands and I bless your holy name. From the bottom of my heart, I bless your holy name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Suchi. Lely.
Dear Lord, I ask for forgiveness I ask for forgiveness from you, first of all, and from any of my brothers or sisters here whom I may have offended or whom I have not said a kind word to. I ask for your forgiveness. I repent before you, and I ask for forgiveness from anyone, my brothers or sisters, here in this church. Forgive me that if I have not been kind or whatever. Please forgive me. I repent. I'm sorry. And I know that just as I've done wrong against you and anyone, please forgive me. Please forgive me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I know that your word is powerful. Your word will see me through. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Father, even as we have repented before you, Lord, we know, Lord, every one of us, Lord, have not loved the way that we should love you, Lord. Father, as we repent and, Lord, ask you to forgive us and help us, Lord, to draw near to you, Lord. Because, Lord, let this message be, Lord, in us, Lord, that we will fear God and keep his commandments, Lord. And Father, we pray, Father, we all want to delight you, Lord. And Lord, as your word says, Lord, the only way to delight you is to fear you so that we draw closer to you, Lord. Lord, let us never, never go away from you, Lord, because we are scared of you. But Lord, we pray, give us that grace, Lord. Give us that understanding by your Holy Spirit, Lord, to draw near to you, Lord, that as we draw to you, near to you, we will have fear of God in our lives, and that will bring delight into your heart, Lord. Lord, we want to, Lord, delight you, Lord, because you have done so much for us, Lord. So much, Lord. Lord, give us that deep revelation, Lord, that we will, Lord, want to, Lord, bring a smile onto your face, delight you, Lord, in everything that we do because of the fear of the Lord. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Aaron. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Yeah, Jonathan. Yeah.
We thank you, Lord, for this time of repentance. We ask you, Holy Spirit, that you continue working in us. We ask you, Holy Spirit, that you examine our hearts and you go through our pride. Pierce our hearts, Lord, that we may be honest to ourselves and to you. Turn our eyes away from worthless things and give us life in your ways, Lord. Help us see, Lord God, that we have not attained it yet. Help us, Lord God. Reveal it to us. As I have confessed before, Lord, I also ask you to forgive me for my pride, Lord. There's so much pride, Lord. But I trust in the power of the Holy Spirit to deliver me and to deliver all of us. It is through your power, Holy Spirit. You are God the deliverer. You deliver your people from bondage in Egypt, and you will deliver us from our pride, from our self-righteousness. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you because you are here with us and in us, and you're doing this work. And we thank you because you will not rest, because the work that you started in us, you will complete it until the coming of Christ. Now help us, Lord. Help us to continue every day in this knowledge, in this revelation, that you will not rest until you finish it. Help us to have this in mind. Help us to walk in humility. And if we deviate, Lord, help us right away to ask you for forgiveness. Right away, Lord. Lest we become proud. Help us, Lord Jesus. We humble before you. We humble before the great power of God. And we know you will exalt us in due time. We thank you, Lord, for bringing repentance and conviction. This is how much you love us. How much you love us. Thank you for the tender word. And help us to fear you. To fear you, Lord. To not only speak of it, but to fear you in our hearts. When nobody's watching us, we live in this fear of the Lord. As the psalmist said, Lord, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Help us to store your word in our hearts, not in our minds, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for the wonderful message and wonderful time. Please help us every day put off our old self and put on the new creature in Christ. We proclaim and decree we are more than conquerors in our Lord Jesus. Also, we proclaim and decree Revelation 5, 8 to 10 among ourselves. And when he had taken the scroll, and the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seal, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on earth." We thank you, my Father in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, sister. Amen. Amen. Do you have a song? Do you have a song? Or? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
give you my heart. I give you my soul.
As Jesus did. Let's walk in the journey in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you.